He assured us that he is the million-dollar man walking in here. We're with MLF pro Keith Poche. Keith, how are you today?
I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a million bucks, man. It's just it's unbelievable. Been a good year. I've had a lot of success, having a lot of fun.
That's right. You were you're fishing the Bass Pro Tour and the Invitationals this year, correct?
That is correct. Yep. I am doing both. I fish a lot.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Keith, I guess my biggest thing, the fishing's all well and good, but like, I'm all about off the grid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, off the grid. That's so, where it's at. That's what a lot of people want to see. You know, I've been busy the last couple of years, and I'll tell you, this off the grid, you know, style of fishing has gotten me into a lot of places. I qualified for the Elites last year or 2 years ago in a Little John boat, little Gator Tracks with the there's not a 90 on it. Actually won an open, finished second in an open, won the points overall, fishing out of a John boat. All right. I fished 9 tournaments, went up north, went everywhere. You know, and it's funny how all these guys, they complain about my little boat. Oh, he can go places, blah, 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 get what we can. But when I go up north or go on a big lake and get my brains beat in by the big waves, it's crickets. You don't hear nobody complaining.
Nobody's feeling sorry for you then.
Yeah, and I cash checks and I'm doing well up there also. So, but yeah, the off the grid boat has really, you know, helped me with my career. It's really flourished. I mean, things have started happening. I feel more confident and comfortable fishing out of this boat because I feel like I can go anywhere. I have that option if I want it. Now, I don't always use it. It doesn't always set up that way. But yeah, I mean, I also have this off the grid YouTube series, which I hadn't filmed in a while because I've been so busy. I'm fishing MLF Bass Pro Tour and MLF Invitationals, and I had to fire my camera guy last year because he wanted to sleep in all the time. So I don't have a camera guy right now. So I hadn't filmed any more off the grids, but that is a cool show that I put on YouTube. You guys need to check it out. I got some old shows out there now, but I just do a lot of crazy shit, man. I just jump beaver dams and I get the chainsaw out and I'm cutting trees and I'm getting out of the boat, pushing it. And man, I get back in some place and I catch some big fish. Like, I mean, it's amazing what lives back in these backwaters.
I'll tell you what, The very first episode I saw was just, it was unbelievable. And if you have you're going to need about 3 or 4 hours of your life because you're just going to binge watch every single one on there. It was just wild. I couldn't believe some of the stuff that you were doing. And I always wanted to ask you, have you ever got yourself in a situation, whether it was off the grid or just in general with getting into some skinny spots or getting stuck or couldn't get out or whatever?
You know, I've been very, very lucky. And of course the one good thing about it is I got good equipment. You know, I'm working with good quality equipment. You know, I got a good Mercury motor. I got a good Garmin trolling motor, and a good boat, Gator Tracks boat. So my stuff really reliable. But there was one time where, and it was my fault. I had some incidents that went down, over stupidity, meant the way I was using the equipment and abusing it. And, I had to use my push pole as a paddle. That doesn't work very well. Luckily the foot had a little bit of a triangle that I could get a little water grab. And it was after dark when I got back, way after dark. Like, it was insane. Like, I really thought that at one point that I was going to spend the night in the swamp. And I do not. I watch Naked and Afraid, and I do not want to be even clothed and afraid. I mean, it's terrible out there. The mosquitoes. I mean, I'm a dude. I'm used to bugs and mosquitoes. But let me tell you something. You out at night and without any cover. I mean, this is 2024. I mean, we're a bunch of pansies. I mean, we will get eaten alive. Like, I mean, you just can't hardly stand the insects. But yeah, no, never an all-nighter, never too hung up. I did have one time, I'm not going to name the place because I was practicing for an event. I don't want to give it away. But I got hung up in this beaver dam during official practice. I had a winch in there and my batteries went dead. Of course, I wasn't using precision sonar batteries yet. I was using another company. I would love to have precision sonar batteries in my boat because my lithium batteries went down on me and I could not get out of this beaver pond. It's during practice, okay? So I had to call somebody. I had to walk track through the woods. They had to go down some dirt roads and some backwater, get on some private property to bring me a battery just so I could winch out of the place. Because dude, I was so far back in there. Like, I was like, no one's coming to get me. I had to walk out to get a battery and walk back in and put that battery in there just to get out. So, I mean, that people don't hear all that dumb stories. I mean, they think I just slip right up in these places, no big deal. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time sawing and pushing and pulling and getting eat up by bugs and having to deal with snakes. And that's just half the battle. Then you got to get in there and catch the fish. So
how many props do you go through a year?
I don't know.
On that level.
It's on that level. So, but it's a good thing that I'm going through props, not lower units. And I use a particular prop. It's a stainless steel, but it's a softer material stainless steel. I'm not going to name any, I'm not going to give any love to anybody because of course I don't want to, it's a good prop, but it's a softer material, which allows the props blades to bend instead of the lower unit, you know, the prop shaft. So I hit stuff. I mean, it's just part of what I do. But never do I go through lower units. I mean, I have to really mess up to damage a lower unit. And I have damaged a lower unit. I will say I have. But typically, my boat, my equipment, I never go in the shop. You never see me at the service yard at tournaments. Most everything that happens to me, it has to really, really go bad. And if it does, something does happen, I can fix it myself typically. Because I'm just on that level. I know my boats. I rig my boats. I do everything to my boats.
That's got to give you a lot of confidence too, going into events, you know, having confidence in your equipment.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, knowing that you're using some of the best equipment, you know, the Garmin Force and the Mercury motor and, you know, having the GatorTrax boat, knowing that my boat and my equipment is going to hold up, you know, with the precision sonar mounts and getting beat around because I'm in some rough water, you know, and having good mounts and all the little add-ons is crucial. And I'll tell you one of the probably the most peace of mind piece of equipment I have is the leash. I've been running it for years and I got it on my little boat and I got it on my big boat. I mean, not that I go reckless now and I just run through anything, but when I do have to do some sketchy stuff, I'm like, hey, you know, I got the leash on. I don't have to worry.
Yeah, it takes the worry right out of it. I mean, I'm the same way, you know, not that I'm going to cut across more flats because I have the leash, but like when I do have to cut across the leash, it gives me a little bit more peace of mind.
Man, you know, we never want to do anything that could jeopardize our boats or our lives. I mean, that's just number one. And having a product like that, because accidents happen when you least expect it. I've seen it over and over for the number of years I've been fishing. And a lot of these high power boats, I mean, they're going so fast. It's hard to make an adjustment if you get in a situation, a sketchy situation, to recorrect it, to get back in the right spot, and it's too late. And people have died by just doing, you know, taking a wrong turn or hitting something that was right underneath the water, and it's just too late. You can't respond quick enough.
Obviously, with the little boat, it has some sort of influence online. Have you ever had a situation where you're in it and you're prepping for a tournament or an event or something like that, and you wouldn't normally do it, but because of the influence and the presence that it has online, you feel almost influenced to, you know, run over a dam or get somewhere where someone else couldn't?
So I guess you're asking, you know, as far as, you know, the influence of people, like someone like thinking I should or shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here's the deal. And, you know, everybody has their opinion on what I do and how I do it. And, so, you know, I got a lot of fans from that. I mean, a lot of people can relate to that because it's just fishing. You know what I'm saying? It's just doing old school stuff. But there is a selective amount of few that's wanting to critique and tear apart every little part about what I do. And never at any point in anything I do, do I break the law? Do I intentionally go out of bounds or do whatever? The whole situation, and I'm sure you're bringing it up about the deal on Toledo Bend, me jumping that rollover dam, I'm not just dumping over a levee to a private pond. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I have a better sense of that. I mean, there's apps that you can get on. You can see who owns the land on the other side.
Right.
And the particular spots you're referring to, from you asking the question, it's Toledo Bend Lake, like in Louisiana. Like, it's the Sabine Waterway Authority owns that. And if anybody would a little time, I mean, they sit around all day probably when they don't have tournaments, some tournament directors, if they'll just do a little research, they can see that it's obviously open to public fishing. I mean, it says that. As long as you buy the permit and do whatever, but the actual dam is designed, it's built, it's sloped like this for boats to slide over. Like, that's the purpose of the way it's built. That's all black and white. So the fact of what I do is I do all my own research. I mean, I'm to the T. Yeah, I mess up. I may flub. I mean, I've messed. Who hasn't messed up? But the fact of the things of what all the things I do, the places I go, I have to be up to speed and understand the rules and, you know, what I can and can't do, get out of the boat, can't get out of the boat. Like, yeah, that's any really, you can't get out the boat. Some let you winch, some don't. But here's the thing about this whole deal. And I don't know what the perfect answer is, but in my mind, the only way to make it even, because we talk about live scope, we talk about all this stuff, new technology, unless you make every single person run the same exact boat, I'm talking about to the length, to the same motor, to the same size power pole, the same size trolling motor, the same amount of rods, the same amount of electronics, same amount of gas they can carry, the same amount of reserve of battery juice. There's an advantage and disadvantage in every part. Somebody's going to have more trolling motor juice than the other guy, so he can stay in the current longer. But see, these anglers in these leagues, they cherry pick on what they want to think's a problem. There's advantages and disadvantages every part of the game. There's boats that hold more fuel, like the nitros. They hold more fuel than any other bass boat, to my knowledge. So that means they can go farther.
So you're just taking your advantages where you can get them.
Exactly. Right. I'm using what's available to me to my advantage and for me to go in and catch fish to best of my ability. If they don't want me to do it, change the rule.
Right.
Don't let me run that boat.
So,
but if you're going to do that, if you're going to take away from me, you better take away from the other guys too. You better make it even across the board, because you can't. Because over the years, they've been doing away with tunnel hulls, jet motors, and all. Why? Why? You tell me why they've done that. Why have they cut that out? They have not cut out trolling motors on power poles, or they ain't cut out a limit of electronics you can have on a boat, or what I heard something else today. Oh, the voltage of it, they can put higher voltage batteries in there, and I didn't know about this, in their boat to get make their electronics be brighter and blah, blah, blah. You don't think that's an advantage?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's my point. So why only take away from one particular part of the game when you can be looking at so many other parts?
So with you taking advantage of the advantages that you find for yourself, I don't want to get you any hot water, so we can cut this if we want to. Which organization is more lenient on your advantages?
Well, I wouldn't say more lenient. I would say more.
Which one's less restrictive?
Well, and I wouldn't even say less restrictive, because at the end of the day, I'm not breaking any laws. I'm doing everything within the guidance of what I'm able to do. But I will say MLF has been more, more comprehensive, more understanding of what actually can and can't be done per rule. I mean, it either says it or it doesn't. It either says you can leave water. I mean, it's just black and white. You can't cherry pick on certain things or what you want to DQ someone about. And there's some other situations with other anglers that I don't agree with that Bass has done. So, for instance, they said I left tournament waters. My boat wasn't touching H2O, right? That's what they say. You left tournament waters. Okay. All right. Well, explain this to me. What happens when a guy jumps a wave? Oh, they say, oh no, that's unintentional. What? Well, he intentionally run that fast. He kept it trimmed up.
Exactly. He knew the consequences.
Tell him to trim it down. No, but all right. So tell me this. What if I, and y'all, you put this part, this, you need to highlight, put this part in parentheses, whatever you want to call it. All right. What if a guy in Bassmaster catches his sixth fish and he puts it in a live well and he starts fishing again? What happens? He gets penalized. He loses that. He loses the smallest fish or whatever fish in a 2 pound, whatever. Or I think you got to throw one bag of 2 pound. What if the guy didn't intend to do it? We're talking about intent. He didn't intend to jump a wave. Well, by God, I didn't intend to fish with six fish in my live well. Why are you going to penalize me on one and not the other? That's how I don't know if I can say this, pathetic, and it's just ass back. Like they, I don't know where they come up with this shit. Like their argument is doesn't even make any sense. If you go about intent, nobody intends to break a rule. So that they'll never penalize anybody. If somebody can say, oh, I didn't intend to do that. Well, you can't DQ anybody for anything. So you can't use, you. It's either against the rules or not if you intend to do it or not. You see where I'm going with this? Yeah. Like, I can't imagine somebody would use that to say something like that to try to justify their reasoning, because it doesn't even make sense.
So you saying MLF being a little bit more understanding with what you do, did that lead into your decision to not fish the bass events this year at all?
So we all left Bassmaster for a reason. You know, years ago. And I'm not knocking Bassmaster, MLF. I'm not going, but they all got issues. And I was able to go back last year and test the waters again, because I fished the opens and I paid my dues and I made it back. And I was excited. I really was. I had a tough decision, because I knew I was going to have to make a decision, you know, after that year. I figured they would do something schedule-wise where I couldn't continue to fish both. Because I wanted to fish both, really, honestly. I mean, I want to fish more. But after seeing, and they go, people say, well, you're just saying that because they DQ'd it, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm telling you the truth. I can honestly say that nothing has changed at Bassmaster. 100%. It's the same place that when I left it 7-8 years ago. Nothing has changed. There's guys over there that's not happy, just like there's guys not happy on MLF. You know, the fishing industry is broken. In a way, it's if you look at the payouts versus what you pay in, the expenses, it's a bad business model. If you go to an investor or you go to somebody, if you want to go to the bank, go borrow, say, hey man, I need to borrow, $90,000 to $100,000. I'm gonna go fish the Bassmaster Elite Series MLF. They're going like, well, let me look at your business plan. Let me look at what you got. They would walk me out of that building and lock the door behind me. Yeah. I mean, seriously, like 100%. It is so terrible. Like, and I feel sorry for the younger generation, because they're selling this fabulous, amazing thing. And I got sold on it when I was young. And I'm not saying a guy can't make a living, but it's a small select few. You really have to catch them. It's very competitive. But it shouldn't be that way. You know, we should, this, at some point I would hope it would get structured more like other sports, either the payouts more, or you get a salary, profit share, something where, you know, the league, you know, how many key post chase shirts or even KVD or Jacob Wheeler shirts can you buy on MLF or Bassmaster? Not a one. You know what kind of shirts, you know what kind of merch you can buy on there?
MLF.
Yeah.
Why don't the league make us shirts? Make their profit and give us a cut too. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who's making these decisions, but there's so many ways that you can make a profit.
Because they're broadcasting you guys anyway, event.
They're promoting their own brand. They're not promoting us. We are them. We create their exposure. Like if it wasn't for us, we can get some more anglers and blah, blah, blah. Maybe so. But it's going to be the cycle over and over. If you take care of your guys, they're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Keith, you had mentioned about payouts and all that. And I fished FLW 100 years ago. You fish a tour.
Hey, you that old?
I'm old. You look good.
I'm moisturized. I'm moisturized. So early 2000s, I mean, you're fishing a tour event and you're paying $4,500 to enter. It was $4,000 back then. They were paying $10,000 to 75th place. That was like.
And what was first place?
Either it was 100 or 200. It all depended.
And what's first place now?
100,000. And that's on the top tier. I mean, the invitational and open and second level stuff is even less than that.
It's crazy.
And so then what were your expenses years ago compared to now?
Yeah. So everything's going up. Everything's going up. Everything's going up. And the payout's going down. Yeah.
So the way I see it, anglers are still going to have to put their money up to fish these events as it is right now and probably for a little bit into the future. What would be the number that you would be happy with for payout? Let's just say top 50. Have you ever thought about that? Or 15,000, 18, you know, what it's like, where would it have to be to kind of be right?
You know, if they would cut out, if we didn't have to pay entry fees, I'd be happy where it's just at right now. Where it's at right now. It's the investment that you put in versus the return that you're getting out. If I got the minimum check out of 7 tournaments that I'm guaranteed, right? I put in 40, 45 and I get 70 back. I mean, I make 25, 30,000. What about the fuel, my $18,000 fuel bill? What about, you know, that you cannot make any money like that. You know, I've got to have some really good tournaments. I've been fortunate to have some really good sponsors I've built relationships with. And that's all part of it. Yeah. But for a career, you know, to save money and to have retirement and you know, just the longevity of it. It's just not built right for the long haul. I don't think. And there's so many things, little things I feel like they can do to make it better. But I don't know, man. And I know it comes down to sponsor dollars and it takes money for the live. And I don't want to bash anybody. And I hate it that they're in these positions because they have these tournament leagues and it just stinks. But I don't know if they need to come together. You know what I'm saying? Because it's the money spread out from sponsors. You know, Mercury's, you know, sponsoring all these leagues. If they just had to sponsor one league, what could they do? How much more you think the payouts would go up? You should have one company pay for every, like, for the first place in every, at least, you know, $300,000 to $400,000, I think. I think you could get one company to have the badasses pay out, you know, have them pay it if there was one league. Because, I mean, you know, there's one NFL, there's one NBA, there's one, you know, Major League Baseball. I mean, we're cannibalizing each other. Like, we're fighting against each other, and it's not a good relationship. I mean, it's terrible. And we need to come together somehow, some way, and that will, and if I'm part of it or not, I would love to see it happen just for the future of the sport and the younger generation coming up, because it can't keep going like it's going.
Yeah, understood. Understood. And what about you touched on the leagues, right? I'm not going to say watered down, but like, I don't even know what's going on anymore. Like, I used to be dialed. You had top 100, you had top 150 back in the day. You had opens, you had FLW, and then you had Everstarts or Rayovacs or Toyotas or whatever you want to call them. Now it's like, this is just so much going on. There's two major events going on today. And
That big of a deal anymore.
It's because not. It's watered down.
Yeah.
And that's
another reason why I left Bass, because it's all watered down. Like, nobody cares where I'm at. Like the amount of people that's watching this. I mean, there's a lot of fishing fans out there. Don't get me wrong. And I think if there was one league, the numbers would go way, way up. But it doesn't really matter what league. I mean, most of the fans are going to watch fishing if they know anything about it. But it is getting to the point where there's so many events. They got MPFL, they got MLF, they got Bass, they got
And there's three of those going on today.
What I don't even know what all they got now. I don't know. But I got people asking me like, there was a tournament there. Was you part of that tournament? I said, man, come on, bro. No, I ain't part of that stuff. I ain't fishing that. They don't even know what I'm fishing. Because they can't keep up with it. So something's gotta happen. Something's gotta give. Somebody's gotta fall and come together, merge or whatever. But I can see it happening, you know, sooner than later.
You did touch on it earlier though. It's that younger generation coming up and it is strong. Like, that person went, you know, moved out of the way or didn't qualify. Next. And it's just,
and there's a lot of good anglers too.
Great anglers. Young. And it's just the feeder system. I remember FLW talked about it. It's like 100 years ago about college fishing. And I'm like, what? This is never going to work. Now is high school fishing. It's like, and it's huge. Like they didn't have any of that back in the day when I fished. When I was in high school, you just fish team tournaments with your dad. That's it.
Yeah. Same here. I fished my first tournament. I was in college after a few years in college. I didn't have college fishing back then. I'm 100 years old too. You know, I don't know if you know that or not. I look pretty good as well. So, but no, I wish they had that at my age and when I was in my prime and fishing good. But, you know, these guys are starting out younger. It's a good thing. I mean, it's good for sport. They're sharpening their skills, you know. I mean, it's just casting. I mean, you'd be amazed some people I fish with, they can't even cast. And grown men can't cast. I mean, no wonder you can't catch no fish. I'm not going to name any names, but these young kids are starting out so young, they can flip, they can do whatever. And these electronics, you know, understanding your electronics, finding these offshore fish, the live scope, which is a great tool I use all the time for shallow water fishing. I'm not necessarily looking for fish, but I'm looking for the structure, where to throw, where the fish may be. But all you take all that and boil it together, and it's a recipe for having, you know, bringing up great anglers, you know, that, but, you know, what's going to happen with this stuff though? I mean, how much technology is going to keep evolving and when are they going to cut it off? I mean, most sports have a shutoff valve at some point. You know, you can't deflate the football. You know, you can't do certain things to NASCAR cars. You have got to regulate it somewhere. And that goes back to my statement earlier about, you know, if they're going to regulate aluminum guy, you need to regulate, they need to make it all even. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because either make everybody run the same thing and have to use the same equipment. Because one guy can't afford, you know, 5 live scope transducers.
So with that being said, we've heard a lot of rumors that there's going to be some changes next year. Can you say if you've heard anything or what you've heard or
with MLF?
I've just heard that there's going to be changes. I haven't necessarily heard who it was going to be with.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm really not up to speed on that. I know what MLF's doing. You know, they're cutting numbers, you know, just to try to get it to a smaller field, which I agree. I just didn't agree how they were going about getting a smaller field. But I agree the aspect. I think there is too many anglers. And I'll take us a step farther. And some of you listeners may not like what I'm about to say, but it's the truth. I think there needs to be less wrapped boats out there and everybody wearing a jersey like they're Kevin Van Dam. Because what you're doing is you're diluting the industry. You're doing something for nothing. And you have got to set some standards. You either get paid big time, like, you know, some legitimate money and you're on a tour level and you're getting XYZ and your boat's wrapped and your jersey and all that. But everybody doing it for nothing. They're paying out of their own pocket just to look like the part. And that's not helping the industry. It's not helping you. It's making you cheap and it's not helping us because we can't survive because you have a job and you do it on the weekends, but you got a wrapped boat. I'm out here busting my butt trying to get sponsor deals and make a living because this is all I got. But they ain't giving me that because they can give it to you for free.
Yeah. And I think that it goes the same way for brands too, because there's a lot of brands that have contingency programs where, you know, they won't pay out unless you have them on your jersey and you win the event. And then all of a sudden they want to cut you a check for something, but you're going to go that whole season and potentially not win anything, but still represent that brand. So I feel like it's almost equal for the brand too, where the blame is.
Well, and I would say, I don't know. I mean, I might have took a little forward to jerseys. I mean, I understand the jersey, but the boat wraps and all, you know, it's just, it's getting out of hand. I mean, I know it looks, you want to look cool and everybody, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know that something. And if they want to do that, then they need to do something for us, MLF pros, Elite Series pros, and make us. We've got to change our jersey. We got to have something exclusive, because we don't stand apart. We don't look different than the mass.
Well, don't they do that now with that small little patch on the jerseys?
Man, nobody knows. You can't tell what you're, man. They don't know. I mean, seriously, I've talked to people and they don't know who they can't. Wait, which one's Kevin Van Dam? Like, I mean, they don't know. I mean, most people do know him, but you take an average person like. That's not up to speed in fishing, they can't say, man, that's a pro. That's a pro right there. I mean, you see a guy with a Falcons jersey with the Falcons, you know he's a pro. Or a Saints or New England Patriots. Like, you see a guy on the street with a jersey, I mean, you know he's just a fan. Right. But anyway.
Again, I can remember years ago where, using Mercury for an example, if you had a Mercury Pro Team gear, whether it was a shirt or whatever, a hat, if it set it on there, the general public could not buy that.
Yeah.
That was like,
you were
I'm old. So they had the zip up white and red Mercury Pro Team. It was like a windbreaker jacket. And I think you got that if you made the classic and you were a Merc guy, like that was special stuff. You're right. That's all gone. It's gonzo.
Everybody's a pro.
Everybody. Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, like, however many people go into a NASCAR race, I don't even know if there's 50 cars, 75 cars, whatever. But, like, those are the only professional NASCAR drivers. Like, there's one league. There's 75 people. But we've got so many different leagues, so many different things. And where's the cutoff for a pro? Is it a guy that fishes all of the EQs, the opens, and fishes the Toyota series? Is he considered a pro? I mean, like,
that's the running joke. Everybody yeah. So when I was fishing a lot, so everybody's like, oh man, you're a pro bass fisherman. I'm like, bro, I work 50 hours a week and I fish as a professional on the front of the boat.
Yeah.
I don't make my living doing this.
That was always, still to this day is kind of a pet peeve of mine. Toyota series, it's a pro and a co-angler. Like, the boater is a pro.
Yeah.
And that bugs me. Like, because that is not necessarily true. Yes, there is some pros that fish the Toyota series, but not all 200 boats or whatever.
It's almost like, it's almost, you're making some sense. It's almost like a position, like a quarterback. You're playing in college or something, you're a college quarterback, then you become a pro quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, these guys should
be a boater or you're a pro.
You're a boater or a non-boater.
Yeah.
And then are you either going to make it all the way and then you're a pro boater. Yeah. pro boater. You pro boater. Yeah. That doesn't even sound good.
I would say like PGA, right? Like, you get your tour card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought that they should try to like implement that into just being next level special. I think they had that chance at one point to do that, and it just kind of faded away.
I mean, the thing is, like, forever, there's always been one PGA. I mean, obviously recently with Liv and everything like that, that's changed. But like, even that, it has seemed to almost water down professional golf. And, you know, it just takes away the novelty almost. Like, there's just that many more people coming in. And to me, I mean, if you're doing something at the highest level, there should be some sort of novelty to it. Like, it shouldn't just be like, hey, I'm going to be a professional bass fisherman today.
Then go to work on Monday.
Yep.
But I'm glad you said that, Joe, because I think I was going to bring that up. There is like a site, maybe it's during the Masters or something like that, where you can go and see each pro and see all their accolades, and it tells you like who they are, what they've done in the year, all this other stuff. So I think that should be something that either MLF or Bass does. But going back to talking about how MLF is cutting down on Bass Pro Tour anglers next year, how do you think and how do you feel that will affect the payout structure?
So, yeah, they are making some changes and they are cutting numbers. And I think that is ultimately going to be a good thing for the ones that's left over. And hopefully I'm one of them. I've requalified for next year, you know, for sure. They will come from 80 to 65 and from 65 to 50 in 2025 or 2026, excuse me. So, you know, as far as payouts, I don't know if that will really make a huge difference, but I'm going to tell you what it will do. I think, well, everybody will probably get a check for one, no matter where you place. But what it's going to do, it's going to do what we're just talking about. It's going to prop these guys up to that next. They're going to be a little bit more important. That group of guys, they're going to get more sponsor dollars because they're going to be part of a more of an elite group. And I think you need that. I think that helps you justify your value to sponsors when you go. So, hey, I'm fishing the Bass Pro Tour. And they're like, oh, that's only 50 guys. Like you're guaranteed more coverage because there's less guys to have to contend with. So there's just a lot of positives that play into that. So it's not, and I don't really understand the whole payout. And they may have sent it to me and I don't remember. So I don't want to misspeak here, but just in general, as a exposure and sponsorship, I think it's going to be so much more valuable moving forward.
Right.
Yeah.
And also going back to how you said you feel like everybody should have the same setup, everything. Isn't that how the heavy hitters events kind of are as far as like the boat setup?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it comes from the cups and the selects back when, you know, I fished those years ago, and that's what I love about ML. That's what I really fell in love with MLF, and it really ignited my career. Because it gave me so much confidence, but they throw us out there on these boats and everybody have the same, but then, you know, we could bring whatever tackle we want, but all the equipment was the same. Same size boat, same size motor, fuel, everything. And they throw us out on these lakes. We didn't know where we were at and had didn't get no practice and everybody's in the same playing field. We just go fishing. And that was so much fun. But yeah, we do that now in the heavy hitters. And then we got the team series, which is similar. But I'm just talking about, you know, if they're going to continue to have this tour or whatever, and long as they don't mess with me, long as they don't keep, you know what I'm saying? Like telling me I can't do this or do that, jump something or cut something or what, you know, I mean, that's where I get a problem with it. Like, I don't care what they can have as many depth finders as they want.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They can put the trolling motors on the power poles on the big, they can put 500, 600, I don't care what they do. Just leave me the hell alone.
Let you do what you got to do.
Let me do what I do. But if you're going to do something, by God, you better do something to everybody.
So you already qualified for next year. You're right on the cut line. You're qualified for heavy hitters next year so far.
Yeah. This last tournament solidified next year. For fishing next year. Also Red Crest. I don't have to catch fish for either one of them.
Right.
Yeah. And I caught me a 710 largemouth on the James River. I've been catching little fish all year. I mean, I don't know. I normally catch big ones, but I got behind on that heavy hitter. So I was like, man, I got to do something. And luckily I caught a 710, got big fish at the last term of James River. And on a place that I fished 2 years ago in the open, I come finish second to Kenta. I should have won that tournament. But anyway, I caught 710 in there, went from like 50-something, almost 60th place, all the way to 30th place and heavy hitters. I'm the last man in. So now we got one tournament left. I got to catch me a, you know, five-pounder. I catch me a five-pounder. I'm good.
But you in 31st place have the exact same weight, which I think, because I think that 710 did put what, you.
Oh, did we do have the same weight?
You guys
both
have, what is it?
31-1, 31-4, 30-1. 30-1. Woo, that's a 5-pound average over 6 tournaments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you have a strategy going into this 7th stage coming up?
So yeah, I mean, St. Lawrence River. I think I've been there, I don't know, 7, 8. I don't know how many times I've been there. I have never got I've never made a cut there.
This is the year. Yeah. This is the one.
I don't know what it is. It's all mental. I think it's like a mental deal, but I don't know. I've been thinking about that. I can go about that one or two ways. I don't really have to catch fish. I don't really have to have a good tournament. I need a big one to, if I make heavy hitters, then I make everything, you know, for next year. Like but if I just go for one big fish, then I will fall in points a little bit, not out of the top 40, but then I got to think about my average.
You know what I'm saying? That's going to influence you for the following year.
The next year and the next year. So I need to just go try to have a good finish and hope that I find a big one, because I mean, there's some big largemouth there. I can go find a 5-pound largemouth possibly, but there's 5-pound smallmouth everywhere too. But that's not my deal. But
can you trailer at that one, or is it?
I don't know yet.
So I was just going to ask you, where, I didn't even know where it's out of.
I heard we may be able to. We're going out of Messina, which is on the other side of
east.
Waddington. Yeah, it's way east as far as you can go at the dam. So we can fish all the way to the Ontario Lake.
Can you fish Lake Ontario?
We cannot.
Can you fish Canada?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure they're gonna let us trailer just because of that. I don't know, but that's just rumor.
I mean, God, if they let you trailer on James,
I don't know why they don't let us trailer all of them. Have the ceremony to take off, like a blast off. We're driving off like a blast off. Like,
yeah, I'm not a huge fan of trailered events for like local events, but like for what you're doing, like take advantage of that format because you can totally do it.
Yeah.
That would open up so much more. I mean, it'd be
absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, all of us in this room know exactly what, you know, trailering is, but for those of us at home that don't know what it means, could you explain what that is?
Okay. Well, I mean, you want the long version or short version?
Okay. However you want.
So, you know, trailing, instead of launching your boat at the blast off place, you just keep it on the trailer and you go and you can leave at a certain time and go launch wherever you want with your boat official, and you just trailer to that, whatever launch you want to put in. And long as you're not moving, you can put it back on the trailer and move again, but it just can't be during a break. Wherever you're at, even if you're driving down the road, you got to pull over somewhere during the 15 minute break and stop.
Right.
You can't be gaining access nowhere while the two breaks are going.
So there you go. People who didn't know what that meant, now they know.
Yeah.
But again, I want to reiterate, everyone in this room knew exactly what that meant. So
and it comes in play. We do that a lot, bad weather, high winds. But I mean, we should have that. We should be able to have that option every tournament, I think, because it's irrelevant. I mean, there's no, we got to be back for a weigh-in or ceremony. I mean, well, the final day they got, you know, the watch party and stuff for the championship. And a lot of times it's quicker to just put it on a trailer wherever you are and drive back. So,
yeah, I think they've got the opportunity to do it with that format. I mean, take advantage of it.
And I really wish that, and I don't know how y'all feel about that. I mean, how do y'all feel about every fish catch and release? Or do y'all like bringing them in?
I like bringing them in.
Y'all like bringing them in. Bring them fish in. Hold them fish up, boy.
So from a conservation standpoint, obviously the every fish counts, catch, weigh, release, you know, release them right there. Obviously that makes more sense. But, you know, I've been fishing tournaments for years as well. And like, there's just something to be said about saying, I got five.
Yeah.
You know, like I just,
now, what you got? You got four? I got five.
And then, exactly. and then it's, I got five. And then it's, are they good ones?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love that.
And then it's, well, how good?
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting on 18 and a half.
Yeah.
And if he's got 20.
And that's the suspense and all that. And that's what makes it so great. And I know it's fun. And, I wish there was some way we can blend all that together, have every fish and bring in five, you know, because I mean, you just keep your best five that you think. I mean, and it doesn't get weighed. Whichever one you want, whatever five you want to put in the live well, you say, hey, boat fish, I ain't weigh these. I ain't weighing this one.
I guess your only little mix of that deal is on Fork when they go down there and have that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to just catch the ones in the slot.
In the slot, you catch a big one, you can go weigh it in, and then everything else.
You weigh the big ones right there.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with the format too, like the suspense, like you said, you know, like, yeah, I know there's kind of like a weigh-in show that the Bass Pro Tour does, but like with Bass Track, it gives you an idea, but you don't know until they hit that button that scale. I love that aspect.
And it is good. You are right. And that's, I wish there was some way we can blend, bring in some fish toward the end.
Yep.
For the final day or something, maybe just the final day, make it, you know, a five fish or half a day, every fish. And then the rest of half, five fish. I don't know.
They would have to keep it and it would mess up what they're trying to accomplish, but with live, but with score tracker updates and all that. Just don't let anybody know.
Well, yeah, you just hold it back. And what it does, it makes your post, because everybody goes and watch score track or maybe Bass Track on Elite Series or even the live, but you tune into the weigh-in, right?
Yeah.
You watch the weigh-in. So what that'll do is that'll send everybody to our post-game ceremony. And then whoever, and even the anglers won't know.
Get up on stage and they drop your number. You're not putting the fish on the scale, but they're dropping your number.
Oh no, you could still bring some fish in. Like I'm saying, and then weigh them there. I mean, you may have a 2.5, you may be down, you know, 2.25, you may have a 2.5 there, you need it and boom, you win. I don't know. But every fish counts. The problem with that is that people run away with it. Like they can, you know, it's just like, I mean, what?
I think that definitely needs to be, something needs to be met in the middle there. Like, even if it's not 5, even if it was 10 or whatever, just some sort of limit there to where it's not one guy gets on a school of fish and he catches 100 of them.
I came up with an idea and I'm not gonna share it on here because I don't want anybody to steal my idea, but I was working on this little deal with a couple other guys about wanting to start something new and fresh and, you know, just whatever for fun. You know, I mean, we're not trying to compete with Bass or MLF. We just want to just try something different and just see if the guys like it and maybe one of the leagues would pick it up. But I come up with an idea format and I think it's pretty solid. I've kind of hinted around on some of it already, but I don't know. Hopefully one day we can get something like that going. And what it would do, and the main focus of what I've come up with is it keeps the fans engaged to the very end. It gets them engaged early and it keeps them engaged all the way to the end. It's guaranteed to have, because there's no possible way for a guy to run away with it. And it's every fish counts and 5 fish.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'd watch it. So fishing both formats professionally, which one, so assume it's championship round for both, which one is more stressful as far as going into the last day?
As far as which league?
Yeah. Well, 5 fish limit versus every fish counts.
Yeah. Yeah. It just depends on how far back I am. Because with every fish count, it resets. Like, you know, for the final day on the MLF, the Bass Pro Tour. And even when we went to 5 fish last year, like our weights would carry over from the knockout round. So they didn't zero going into it. So you kind of knew where you're at. But, you know, I like the every fish counts just because the deck resets. You know, everybody starts from zero the last day. and you're always in it. You always have an opportunity to make some adjustments that final day. If you're not, you don't feel like you're on them, you can make some moves or whatever. You always have an opportunity to have a shot at winning. But and it's kind of, and it's exciting. But the 5 fish, knowing that, you know, hey man, if I catch a big bag today, you know, I'm down 3 pounds, but I could bust a bag and drop them bad boys on the scale, show everybody what's up. I mean, that's just something to that. I mean, that's just awesome right there. I mean, that's just really exciting. And when it happens, you're like, whoa, everybody, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, it's just, look at, I mean, Jordan Lee, when winning the classics coming from behind, like that just, that's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff, man. I think MLF really, they're on to something good. I don't know where the happy spot is to meet, you know, the where they need to land and what's going to happen. But I really truly think they're trying to do good things for the industry. Whether that materializes to that or not, I don't know eventually. But either way, like I've said before, I think something needs to happen. Leagues need to come together and they need to get along. They need to schedule stuff around each other where everybody can fish everything. If they're not going to come together, they need to let us fish. You know what I'm saying? But they're too, you know, stubborn and, you know, they want to be the best and they want to have the best, blah, blah, blah. They're only hurting us. That's who they're hurting. They're hurting the fans and they're hurting us.
Yep. I feel like the heyday was when guys were fishing the elites And they're fishing the FLW Tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're fishing both of them.
That was a little bit before my time. I kind of got into it. Right, you know, FLW was still going on, of course, but I was just all about Bassmaster, and I really didn't know anything about FLW, but I wish I would have fished some back then. But yeah.
And guys talked about it, like the guys that fished both, you know, they fished better those years mm-hmm. that they did fish both because they're fishing more, they're on the water.
Absolutely.
And I mean, making better decisions, the whole nine yards. So I think it'd be awesome to be able to fish everything.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I wish I had all the answers. I wish I had $1 billion. I'd just buy them all out. And I'd make this, you know, the biggest badass league you've ever seen in your life. But I don't have that kind of money. I'm a pro fisherman, so.
Yeah, Poche Fishing League.
Yeah.
So switching gears, you fished two Toyota series so far this year, and then you're also fishing the Invitational series. Do you treat Toyotas the same as far as prep? Do you treat those the same as you do the Bass Pro Tour?
The Toyotas?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I treat every event like it's the most important event,
right?
You know, for number one, but because. And one of the reasons why I'm fishing the Toyotas is to make the Toyota Championship. I'm fishing the last two at Santee and Lake of the Ozarks. So I'm signed up for those two because you fish four. If I couldn't fish one division. So if you fish at least four, it take your top three finishes to qualify for the Toyota Championship. So I've had two good finishes, and I've looked at those been a wild card. So I've looked at the wild card standings, and the guys that made the top 25, they didn't have the greatest finishes. So I just need one mediocre finish, and I'll make Toyota Championship. That's on Lake Wheeler, Tennessee River, up the road from my house. So I was pretty excited about that. But, you know, every time I go out, I fish the Toyotas in that little boat as well. And like the Bass Pro Tour, the invitation I fish out of my big gator tracks is a 20 foot with a 250. But I'm looking for places that I can get that little boat. I don't care what time. I mean, if I'm in that little boat, I'm trying to get back in something if I can, and it's game on.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I take them just as serious as the other one.
So is there anybody in the Invitational Series that you're kind of keeping your eye on? I hate to say scouting, but keeping your eye on that could potentially be in the Bass Pro Tour and be pretty good next year?
There's a couple of guys. Jake Lawrence. Yeah, he's good. He's a good fisher.
He's local here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed him. And I mean, there's a couple of good guys. I mean, and that's where, heck, I was a nobody before I made it pro. You know what I'm saying? And I hope they all can make it at some point. But, you know, I respect a guy that's out there busting his butt, you know, because he's doing a lot of it on his own dime.
Right.
And he's out there running these tournaments and spending the big bucks and trying to live the dream. And so, I mean, my hat's off to all of them. I mean, I fish them because, you know, sponsorship wise. So, I mean, I need to fish more tournaments. Just, you know, I feel like I need to for my sponsors and, you know, just to make more money because it's profitable for me. So, but all the guys that ain't on the pro level now, yeah, man, they, I mean, good for them, mm-hmm. you know.
Is there any advice that you'd give to the guys that are just in the Toyota leagues and their local BFLs that are trying to work up the ranks?
Yeah, I mean, don't overdo it. You know, just take it one year at a time. You know, I set goals early on in my career before I really knew much about this whole fishing adventure stuff. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but I can't remember what really made me. And I might have had a local fisherman guy tell me something. I don't know, but I set some small goals. I kind of just made it a stepping stone. I mean, I literally couldn't catch a limit. When I first started fishing, I mean, I could not catch a limit. I couldn't catch a fish in a 5-gallon bucket. I mean, I grew up fishing ponds and stuff like that, bayous in Louisiana. But when you get on these lakes and rivers and stuff where there's so many, a bunch of anglers and fish got so many options to swim everywhere, I'm like, man, scratching my head. Where do I start? Because I didn't know. I had to learn all over again.
Right.
So, but, you know, when I went all in. And I didn't half-ass nothing. And I, you know, these guys, they want to play the part, but they don't want to be the part. You know what I'm saying? You can play it all you want. You can donate all you want. I'll take your money any day of the week if that's what you want to do. But if I got some advice for you, you want to be somewhere, you want to make it pro, you need to get serious about it. I mean serious about it, because that's what it takes to be on the water all the time and really study, understand and figure out, you know, different techniques and what you need to do and how to catch them. Because man, there's a lot of dudes out there that's eyeing you down, ready to kick your butt. I mean, there's some good fishermen out there. These young, we talked about them earlier, but these young guys out there, you know, learning these electronics and different things like that. So, and I'm one of them. I'm aiming. I'm going to get you. You know what I'm saying? So bring it. But for you to get out there and compete, you got to work. That's what I would tell somebody. Work your butt off and take it as serious as a heart attack.
So across all your social channels, you've got over 100,000 subscribers and followers all combined. Do you consider yourself a fishing influencer?
Absolutely. I really do. Especially on my off the grid stuff. And the last year has really opened my eyes to people. I had so much support, when that deal went down with Bassmaster. And I had some pro anglers, you know, want to, you know, throw up their, you know, opinions about me and what I, I'll tell you one thing. I'll never go out of my way and attack somebody on social media. I will respond to you. I will defend myself, but I will never go out of my way and first attack you. But seeing all that and seeing how, because they're just jealous anyway, all those other guys, they just, I mean, I've had to learn it, but the support I got and the comments and you wouldn't believe, bruh, the people for instance, this year I was in Santee Cooper. I was so far up in this. No, it was last year. I was there this year. I got me confused. Last year I was in Elite Series tournament over there. And you would not believe the people. I was fishing a swamp. I mean, these people in John boats, you know, they got overalls on. They don't got no internet. They say, man, you keep posting. I said, yeah, man, what? You jumped up levee. He said, oh, they knew about it. Like all these, they don't have social media. They're not following me, but they know some key poche because I relate to those people. You know what I'm saying? I'm real. I don't act all, I don't wear a flat bill hat. I'm not saying anything wrong with a flat bill hat, but I'm not trying to be out there some, you know what I'm saying, this and that. And just, you know, I'm just real, man. I don't do nothing, try to be nobody. I'm Keith Poche. And a lot of people, I don't know, they don't like it or they don't, I don't know what it is.
Right.
But I'm just me, bro. I'm the coolest guy, but man, do not. Man, just keep your mouth shut. You know what I'm saying? Because they do. They kind of want to pick at me or smart off. And I'm like, man, I don't even know what that dude's problem is. But I'm as cool as they are, really.
So do you would say you find a pretty good balance between being an online influencer versus a pro?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was a long answer to your short question.
I love it, man. That's great. That was a great answer.
That was a good answer.
So well,
I just, you know, I think people, you know, people want to be entertained. People can see through fakeness. You know what I'm saying? People can read that. And I know because I see it in people. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy that acts a certain way, that's trying too hard or whatever. I just like fishing. I like doing what I'm doing. I like living on the edge. I like just pushing the limits. Like, it's just fun to me. Like, who doesn't want that? I mean, it's like a NASCAR driver or something. I mean, they live on the edge, bro. Like, on the edge of death. Like, they love it, though. I mean, that's what I love. I love driving my boat through some sketchy shit. I mean, I just do. I don't know what else. I can't deny it. I don't know. You got me. I'm guilty.
The quote of the show right there. The name of the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. I just do what I do.
Just do what you do.
You do you.
All right. Well, Keith, that's all the questions we have for you. Is there anything you want to say to wrap it up?
Man, I just appreciate you guys letting me get on here and tell you a bunch of lies.
Well, we appreciate you being here for sure.
Yeah, man.
Stopping by.
Thank you for coming by. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
All right, guys. That is a wrap on another episode. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. Send us a DM. If you want to hear a specific topic or even a guest, give us some feedback. Once again, we appreciate you for listening.